Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Amen. It's good to be back. We're grateful for the privilege just to gather again. Just a few of us here today in the sanctuary, and grateful for Bruce and Arnold being here, giving us some at least support backwards, so we've got some eyeballs to see today. I don't know why that's important to me, but I certainly like having at least an audience, even if it's just one. So when we first started this, David said to me, now, don't just preach to me, because it was just me and him in the building. So I guess that was a bit uncomfortable. He was the only one to receive it, but we're sure grateful for the privilege that God's given us to be here. The thing about pre-recording is that we really are not positive of when it will be aired. And so we're absolutely trusting God to do this according to his goodwill. What we're doing is simply trying to mind him and to share the gospel as he gives it to us and just be faithful to preach it and then trust that the message, whenever it premieres, which we think this one will be next Sunday, or actually this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. But even if something changed, the point is that people get to hear this on and on afterwards. And so there's a great deal of eternal value here, I believe. And so truly pray for what we're trying to do. And let's just be faithful wherever we're at. If you're at home, maybe you're not working. Maybe you're struggling in some way or another. The circumstances can be different from everybody. But the fact that God is still on the throne ought to be the very center of our perspective. And that's what we want to share with you today. So we thank you for joining us today. And we hope and pray that God will just fill your hearts and fill ours as well. Before we start today, we want to go to the Lord in prayer. So if you would, right where you're at, if you'll just bow your head and pray with us. Lord, thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you for the privilege of being able to stand one more time. I confess how desperate that I am, how dependent upon you in every way. We pray for the message today. We're but the messenger, and that within itself means nothing without the message. And so we ask that you would anoint the message, that you would send it, granting us the clarity of mind and speech, and may everything that we do be according to your good will and your purpose. Arrest our very thoughts, bind it to your will, and Lord, may everything that's said honor you, and may that precious soul that's hearing us right now, who knows in their heart they're not prepared to meet you, not saved, knowing, we pray that you would open their heart to your gift of salvation. May it be clear today, and may all of us be obedient in what we do. For we ask this earnestly in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to turn with us today to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Hebrews, chapter number 11. When we preached last time, we preached on an earthly perspective. And today I want to preach on the opposite of that, a heavenly perspective. Now, I said in the last message that I was excited to preach the second one a bit more than I was the first one, and I'll just confess that's not changed. I love talking about heavenly things. If there's anything that stirs my soul, it's talking about where I'm headed, and I'm so grateful for the heavenly perspective. Hebrews chapter number 11 is where we'll begin today. We're going to start at verse number 8 and read down through verse number 19. So if you'll take your Bible and you'll open that and honor the Word of God by reading along with us, we'll begin at verse number 8, Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, having not received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, amen, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Would you bow with us again? Father, take your word and open it to our hearts. We pray for every soul that's in a distressed condition today, whatever the circumstances might be, and how I pray that you would help them, fill them with your presence and your Holy Spirit. Help us to put behind us more of that earthly perspective and allow that which is greater, the heavenly perspective, to move. Grant us liberty now as we ask this earnestly in Jesus' great name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing, and you can be seated. We certainly appreciate the word of God. I want you to think tonight about the heavenly perspective. Last time when we preached, I told you that that was the part one, and this will be the part two. But we talked last time about the earthly perspective and the danger of having only an earthly perspective, and how that the children of Israel had gone out there and had just literally in despair gave up, and in their apathy had become ungrateful toward God. And all of these things was a negative influence and a witness that had no bearing on the God that they said they served or loved. And what a danger for us today, being in unusual circumstances, being in a time that we've never been in before. I'm with Brother Thomas, who mentioned it the other night. You know, I've never thought I'd ever say when we get to go back to church, I'm so excited about just getting that and getting able to go back to church. But when we think about the earthly perspective, what a dangerous thing that those things can cause. When we have despair and we begin to become apathetic or sit down on God or ungrateful. And I thought about what the greatest thing of all of this is. And that is that we can live as a light in this current time. We can make a difference in the world that we live in, speaking to hearts that may be down, speaking to those that may be ungrateful or apathetic or in despair, and we can certainly share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. So I want to share with you tonight concerning a heavenly perspective, just from this particular passage of Scripture. I want to talk to you about Abraham. But to have a heavenly perspective, you've got to have a foundation, which means you must be born again.
Right.
Before I can do anything about the heavenly perspective, I want to share with you the truth of the gospel by reading to you from John chapter number 3. Certainly familiar Scripture, but I want to read to you 6 or 7 verses just to create for you a foundation. Because here's what I can say. Regardless of who you are, you can say, "Preacher, I want to have a heavenly perspective." But until you're born again, you just can't have it. You see, you can talk about it. You can mention
mentioned things, but you know, I could tell you all about Disneyland in California, but the truth is, I really don't know because I've never been there. I've never experienced that. I've never had the glimpse of that place. I've never really had the privilege of knowing something else about it. Listen, if we're going to talk about heaven, you're going to have to know Jesus.
Amen.
You'll have to know him. And so we want to start right there. The foundation of a heavenly perspective is that you be born again. Let me ask you simply today, are you born again? That's the question ultimately the entire gospel is trying to get to, is have you been saved, or has your name been written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Are you certain that you're going to heaven? You can't have a heavenly perspective until you've been saved. Here's what he said in chapter number 3 of John. He said, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, listen to what he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How can you have a heavenly perspective if you're not on your way to heaven?
Amen.
If the author of all heavenly things has not entered in personally into your own heart, you cannot have a heavenly perspective. And that's what he was telling Nicodemus. It's this simple. He said, marvel not, or he said in verse number 4, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Verse number 7, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again.
Amen.
Listen, I want to encourage you today, because I think the greatest thing of having lived in or being a part of something in this particular time of our lives is the fact that I can have a perspective, amen, that is different than everyone else in this world that has no heavenly view. I'm glad today to say to you that I know that I'm born again. I know that the Spirit of God dwells in me, and because of that, I have a perspective, you see, that is different than the majority of the world. When they look around and they wonder, how in the world can you stop it? How in the world can you make the peak shorter? Or how are we going to protect this one or that one? Here's what I'm going to say to you. I'm not certain of those answers, but I know the one that is. And I believe today that everything he's doing, amen, through this and in us and for us, a brother, will be for our good. And God will take these things, amen, and he will exalt his son through it all. And brother, with a heavenly perspective, amen, you can build right through the storm that we're in and still experience the joy and peace of God.
Amen.
Oh, how we need to share a heavenly perspective with the people that are lost. There's so many of them today, right? We remember from the last message, the children of Israel had no witness. They didn't have a testimony. They had lost it there in that strange land. They had hung their harps upon the willows. They had stopped worshiping God. Amen. They'd got lazy and apathetic and simply in despair and despondent. And amen, I hope today that from the last message that you really got over this and that you were able to come out of this. But regardless, may I say to you today that for you to have a heavenly perspective, you have to be born again.
Right, amen.
I need to stop right now and just plead with you that are listening. For those of you may have never heard the gospel in your life. You may have clicked on this accidentally, but may I say to you, it's not an accident. If you're listening right now and the Holy One is trying to impart to you this good news, that if you believe in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
You see, he wants you to know him. He wants you to know him. We're living in trying times, no question about it. And as this thing gets bigger and maybe more fierce as it continues to rage around us, it may become more personal for each one of us. We may experience things we've never experienced before. But here's what I can tell you. I've got a heavenly perspective that trumps everything else. Amen. There is nothing else greater than the heavenly perspective. Now, you can stand in the world's viewpoint and you can watch all the news channels and allow them to pull you into a great deal of the rhetoric and the stuff that's going on. But the truth is that a heavenly perspective will pull you out and it'll place you on a foundation that is solid and secure, and you won't have to worry. Amen. Your Father is in control. And brother, you and I can be able to rejoice with a heavenly perspective even when the earthly circumstances are hard.
Right,
I want to share to you here a couple of passages. I want to focus on Abraham this afternoon. I want to share with you what Abraham went through. And I want to take two different looks at his heavenly perspective, because the Apostle Paul, he does that very thing for us in 11th chapter of Hebrews. We began with verse number 8. And I want you to see there what happened to Abraham. The Bible said that by faith, Abraham, when he was called out to go into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whether he went. Let me say to you that the journey for Abraham began when he met God.
Right.
Amen. When God came to Abraham and he spoke to him, he called him out to send him to a place that he had never been. Amen. On a journey that he had no idea exactly how it would be. He didn't know which way to go. He didn't know no more than his cousin Lot or his nephew Lot. He didn't really have any idea where God was sending him. But according to the scripture, the Bible said that by faith, Abraham obeyed God. May I say to you today that that's how the journey begins, is when the Holy Spirit comes to you and reveals to you that you need to be saved, that you're lost, and that you need a Savior. Amen. That is the point that your faith can intersect with the faithfulness of God, and a miracle will occur in your own life.
Amen.
The journey began for Abraham when he believed God. And the journey for us is no different. I remember clearly the day that I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. I can remember it. Amen. I went down one way, but when I come up, I was a new creature. There was something that took place in me. Amen. A conversion. I was born again by the Spirit of God. I went down with only an earthly perspective, but when I raised up that day, I had a heavenly one. You see, because suddenly all of those things that God had promised to Abraham, he had promised now to me. The Bible said in Romans chapter number 10, verse number 8, he said, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved."
Amen.
Now you say you're talking about faith, and yet you're still referring to a heavenly perspective. May I say to you, you can't have a heavenly perspective without faith. Everything that the Word of God has told me about those things that are coming, amen, I have not yet, just as he wrote in here, yet seen some of these, amen. I've seen the promises. I've been given the promises, amen, but I've not yet seen those streets.
Right.
But I'm looking for them.
Amen.
Amen. The perspective I have is built on faith. Now, I'll tell you this. I have received a whole lot of things already. A lot of the promises of God. Amen. I have received.
Amen.
Amen. He said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. And brother, he's been faithful to that. He's never failed in any way. He ever promised that he's given me that has been engaging and something that is active right now. I can tell you this, that my God lives and I believe it. And therefore, that also translates into faith, into the things we can't see yet.
Amen.
Those things that we can't see. And here we find that Abraham was willing just to believe God. He was willing just to follow God, not knowing where he was going to send him, not knowing how it was going to turn out. We find also in the 10th chapter of Romans where he said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. May I say to you today that your heavenly perspective is absolutely contingent upon believing, but not just believing in anything, but believing in the word of God. If you want to know what the truth is, it's between between the covers of this book. Amen. It's not relative to what you think or I think. It's been established for you and I and forever settled in heaven. The word of God, which is true and always will be true. The word that will pierce into my heart and to your heart. A word that will set us free if we'll just believe it. And brother, when you truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you are born again, you'll get a heavenly perspective.
Right, amen.
Amen. You'll get a heavenly perspective. Whenever you talk with folks, certainly at a time of loss, and as a pastor, I've done a lot of funerals, and Arnold's done a lot of funerals, and you know what? People want to talk about heaven when somebody's gone on, don't they?
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. When you lose a loved one, I tell you, the most important thing that you'll be able to say is that you knew where they went to. And may I say to you today, not everybody goes to heaven.
Right.
According to the scripture, there's likely more going to hell than they are heaven. Just based on the scripture alone and based on the world that we live in, it seems evident, amen, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to get saved. Nobody wants to follow Jesus. Nobody wants to come to the cross and repent and find salvation for themselves. Oh, but Abraham found it. Abraham found it. Let me read to you what happened. The Bible said in verse number 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise. You know what that means? It means he left his home and he went out looking for the one God had told him about.
Amen.
Amen. He didn't tell him exactly where he was going. The Bible said he's in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles. Now I looked up that word. It means tents. He was a tent dweller. May I say to you today that ever since I got born again, I, spiritually speaking, I've been a tent dweller.
Amen.
Amen. When I got saved, my home was no longer here. Amen. My home suddenly became somewhere that I'd never seen before. I'd never been before, but I began to long for. Amen. I began to desire with all of my heart. He said there in verse number 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Let me ask you a question. If you're born again today, do you desire heaven? Amen. I believe anybody truly that have been born again by the Spirit of God wants to be in that place where Jesus is, wants to inherit that wonderful place that he's promised to you and I. I tell you, as a child of God, I'm just a tent dweller.
Yeah, amen.
I don't plan on building nothing either. Amen. The religion of this world, those structures that have been built by man, they're going to burn up. They're going to disappear. My hope ain't in religion. My hope's not in a denomination. My hope is in one thing, and that is Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I believe what he said. He said, I go away that I might prepare you a place, that where I am, there you may be also. I don't know about you, but that is a grand heavenly perspective. That when I leave here, I'm going to a better place.
Yeah, amen.
You see, you could literally take away everything a child of God has, but you can't take away that.
Amen. Amen.
You see, when you're truly a tent dweller, you can have my tent. Right? Because my hope ain't in the tent. It's not in the circumstances that are around me. My hope is in what it is I believe in. The hope is in what he has promised me. And brother, I believe by faith in Jesus Christ, one day I'll get to see the fullness of all that hope.
Amen.
You say, was it really that way with Abraham? Well, the scripture said that Abraham took Lot with him. And there was a time came that the herds of Abram and Lot had grown so large that they could no longer dwell together. And Abraham told Lot, he said, listen, we can't dwell together anymore. Our herds are too big. Our people are fighting one among another, trying to figure out who gets what to feed. And he said, ultimately, he said, I tell you what, he said, if you pick that way, he said, I'll go the other way. He said, but if you pick that way, I'll go the other. He was basically saying to Lot, it don't make no difference to me. I tell you right now, the older I get, the less matters to me. Down here, I want you to know that there's something better on the horizon. Right. You know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Being born again, you see, gives you a heavenly perspective. And regardless of what the world does, amen, you can take the particular circumstance we're in right now and just replace it with something else. Amen. A year from now or 2 years from now, it'll be something else, amen, that is a hard thing that we have to go through. But I'll still be a tent dweller if I'm alive then.
Right.
I'll still have my hope in Jesus. That's where it's at. It's having a heavenly perspective. Romans 8 and 28. If we're not able to truly have a heavenly perspective, that verse doesn't mean anything. All things work together for good. We shared that last time in the message. All things work together for the good to them who are called, who are the called according to his purpose and love God. Amen. God's going to work all of this out. We know that and believe it. You say, well, how do you know? Because I have a heavenly perspective. That heavenly perspective comes from the Holy Spirit that dwells within me, that gives me that particular view. Now, Abram, he said to Lot, he said, just pick whichever way you want. And he said, I'll go the other direction. And the Bible said, oh, Lot looked down into the well-watered plains of Jordan. And he said, I believe I'll go that way. Here's the sad thing about it. You see, Lot was being motivated by the earthly perspective. What was motivating Lot was, I can see the grass growing down in them thick meadows down near those well-watered plains of Jordan. And he said, that's where I want my cattle. That's where I want my sheep and my goats. He said, I want my camels down there in that place. They'll get fat and they'll flourish. But what he didn't know, amen, is it ain't everything that looks green here that is. You can look at a lot of things in this world, but here's what I'm going to tell you. The earthly perspective will dilute the truth. Amen. Because here's what you can be certain of. Not everything is greener on the other side of the fence.
Right. Amen.
That is a false statement. And it's an earthly perspective, you see, that gets us in that shape. You can read the story and find out how it was a terrible mistake that Lot made. And he did all of it based on an earthly perspective. But what I love about it was that Abram in the beginning said, don't make no difference to me. That's what I want to be. Amen. When it comes to the world, I want to say it don't make no difference to me. And you know why, Bruce? Because this ain't my home.
Right, amen.
Amen. I'm spiritually in a tent. I'm ready to move.
Amen.
I don't have to pack up a thing to go to heaven. When he comes and calls my name, brother, I'm leaving here, and I'll take what with me, what I brought in, amen, which is nothing except Jesus. I'm leaving here with Jesus one day. I'm in a tent spiritually. I'm not building a house down here because I don't intend to stay.
Right. Amen.
Well, that changes everything. Suddenly, you can face all kinds and forms of different difficulties and experience the peace of God because we don't have an earthly perspective only. We have one that is over and greater the earthly. We have a heavenly perspective.
Yeah, amen.
Well, I tell you, people need a heavenly perspective today. People need to know that there's something that a man can put his hope in that won't let him down. The Bible said in Ephesians 2 and 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. And I want to read this passage of scripture from 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. I tell you, when you go to talking about the perspectives, that fits very nicely. Because if you don't have a new perspective, having been born again by the Spirit of God, here's what I'm going to say. You never got changed.
Amen.
You didn't get born again. Amen. See, some people have compromised with truth, and they believe today that their faith in their religion or faith in denomination or having repeated a prayer or having done something called baptism or all of these different elements of our faith. Amen. They believe somehow that these are what saved them. But the truth is, it's only the cross of Jesus Christ that can deliver us from sin. It is only having been saved by the Spirit of God that we experience a new life. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Let me ask you the question. Are you a new creature? You see, the new creature will recognize that this world is not his home. A new creature will have his heart and his mind, his affections set on things that are above, not on the things of the earth. And for the child of God today, we need to be careful that we keep a heavenly perspective. The scripture says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You say, well, that's wonderful. Abraham believed God and he had a heavenly perspective. What the apostle Paul said about him here in this great compilation of faith where he spoke of so many different patriarchs that did such enormous and wondrous things for God. They were all based on their faith. But what we hear specifically about Abraham was that he was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God.
Yeah.
Amen. God had sent him out and made wondrous promises to Abraham that of his very seed there would be lands that were blessed and he would be blessed and that the nations of this earth would be blessed. May I say to you today that Abraham's faith led him to look for something else.
Yeah.
Having met God, the only thing he really wanted was to be with God. There's a heavenly perspective to be had. But not only does the heavenly perspective come when we're born again, but I want you to know that the heavenly perspective just gets greater as the journey goes along. You see, the Apostle Paul didn't stop just there. You know, he speaks quite a bit about Moses in this same chapter. But with Abraham, he speaks two different times specifically about Abraham. And I want to jump over to verse number 17 and read to you about Abraham's faith that continued. You see, it wasn't just from the beginning, but it was something that was maintained as he went along. Abraham's faith in God continuously grew that heavenly perspective within him. Here's what he said in verse number 17. He said, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises, which was Abraham, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, verse number 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. You say, how in the world does that? Listen, when Abraham was called that day, when God said, Abraham, he said, I want you to take your son, your only son, to whom Abraham knew the promise had been made of.
Yeah.
You think what you're going through was hard? Right. Abraham was facing a circumstance that literally there was no winning.
Yep.
And ultimately, when God told him to do it, you know what Abraham did? The same thing he did the first time he called him to go and do something that he never fully explained. Abraham just obeyed God. I want you to know when we believe in Christ, here's what you can count on. A heavenly perspective will never fail you because it is in one that cannot fail.
Amen.
He said, Abraham, take your only son Isaac upon the mountain. He said, I want you to offer him up to me as a sacrifice. End of story. You know what Abraham did? The next day he got up and he took Isaac and he took the fire and he took the wood and the knife. And the Bible said they headed up that mountain. The scripture said when they got up there, Isaac asked him, he said, Father, he said, I've got the wood. And he said, I've got the fire and the knife. He said, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham told Isaac, he said, son, God will provide a sacrifice. I want you to know that when you have truly a heavenly perspective, it allows you to believe the unbelievable. According to the Apostle Paul, what Abraham had already made up his mind was, is that if God truly wants Isaac as a sacrifice, then God will raise him up from the dead so that the seed shall be as he promised.
Right, amen.
That's faith. And when you have faith in God, it will give you a perspective that is no longer earthly. Now, you put earthly perspective in his circumstances, and that was a bad deal.
Right.
But when you talk about what God was trying to do in Abraham, it was totally different. And what Abraham did was obeyed God. And what happened? God ultimately gave the sacrifice. The ram was caught in the thicket. He took it, offered it up instead of Isaac, just as the Lord had told him to do there on the mountain. A heavenly perspective changes everything. How many of us today are struggling with what's going on around us? By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises.
I want you to know today that as the children of God, the one thing that bolsters our heavenly perspective or maintains it from one day to the next. You see, I don't know what news is coming tomorrow. I don't have any idea how this will affect me, but here's the other thing. Even if it wasn't a coronavirus, it could be anything.
Right, amen.
Amen. There's plenty of other diseases in this world, and I'm not exempt from them. Right. Amen. There's bad things that happen to good people all the time. I mean, you consider the car wrecks and accidents and all these other things. Listen, you won't get out of this world unscathed. Hard things will come to you. It rains on the just and the unjust. Amen. The difference is that my perspective is not anchored in this world. It's anchored in the heavenly.
Yeah. Amen.
Because here's what I know. Is that you can take everything that I have and ultimately I still have the greatest of treasures. See, my riches aren't earthly. They're heavenly. And those you can't get to. Those no one can steal. Those won't be corrupted by the moth or the rust. You see, those are the things that are heavenly. And if we have our hope in those things, then it begins to temper everything else that seems hard down here. I'm not saying when we have hard times we won't sorrow, but the scripture is clear that when we do sorrow, we don't sorrow as those without hope.
Right. Amen.
You say, where's your hope come from? He's made me some promises.
Right. Amen.
He won't fail.
Right. Amen.
See, God has given me some promises. You say, can you really trust God? Yes, you can.
Amen.
Has he ever failed you? No. You see, God cannot fail. He cannot lie.
Right, amen.
And he made me some promises in the day I got born again.
Right.
He made me his own. According to the scriptures, I that day was bought with a price.
Right.
According to the apostle, he made me one of his own children that day. Took an orphan spiritually and made me a part of the great family of God. And I now cry unto him, Abba, Father.
Yeah.
And he knows me as one of his own. The scripture said that he made me an heir. And a joint heir with Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, the glory of being a child of the King. Why in the world would we want to dwell with an earthly perspective when we have something so much better?
Yeah.
That's what the apostle was saying concerning Abraham. Verse number 13, I'm going to go backwards now and read this to you. Here's what he said. He said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. I'll grant you that I know a lot more than they did, but only because I have the print. I'm able to read it. I know that. But there's some promises he's made that I ain't seen either. But I will die in faith,
right,
having believed in those promises. You say, what promises?
Bless him.
That death hath no victory.
Right.
Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Death, where is thy sting? That there's nothing to death,
right,
when you've been given eternal life. I want you to know that I have eternal life right now.
Yeah.
But he's promised that the day I cross,
yeah,
that it will just be a shadow.
Right.
And I believe that.
Yep.
I believe that the very instant that I lose consciousness to this world and my heart quits beating and my flesh lays itself down and I'm done here, that my soul is going somewhere else. You see, that is a promise that he's made to me and I haven't seen it yet.
Apostle Paul said concerning the journey that we're on, he said that right now we see through a glass darkly. So I can't see as clearly because I've not seen it yet. Now you want to talk about how his promises to provide for me? I can talk to you about that all day long. Because I've experienced that here and now. I've experienced his healing. I've experienced his presence. The greatest of all miracles that we can experience the presence of God through his Holy Spirit. But I've experienced that in all the times. But there are some things that I've not yet seen. Yet I believe fully that when the day comes, they will happen. I have plenty of evidence that God is real and that having been made a child of his own, that I'm a new creature in Christ. But there seems there's nothing greater than that spirit within me that longs for a place I've never been. It's hard to explain, certainly, to a person that's never been born again. But I fear there's even Christians out there that have become so earthly minded that the heavenly has very little bearing. Oh, what a sad condition that is. We call it backslid. What a sad condition when a person that truly has been promised by God himself the glories, and yet they dwell in the earthly mind. They dwell with an earthly perspective that robs them of the glorious hope that is in Christ Jesus. Yeah, amen. Listen, what a pitiful existence to be the child of a king and live as a pauper. What a terrible mistake to have the promises of glory of an eternity with Christ. To live defeated as a victim who had no father at all. What a shame. What a shame when every day for those who will cultivate that simple truth that Christ is real and that faith in Christ will bring that very hope and peace we need. It brings the peace that passes all understanding. It comes when we believe in Christ. Let me move on quickly. The Bible said Abraham received the promises, and you and I have many promises. Let me quickly go through several of them. I give unto you eternal life. I don't know what you compare that to, but that's grand. I go to prepare you a place. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You're sealed until the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit. He will provide for us based on his riches in glory. He has given us joy unspeakable and full of glory. The sufferings of this world are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. These are all promises. These are all promises. Some of them I've seen, some of them I've experienced, and some of them are yet to be seen. But here's what I can assure you. I will receive these promises. These will all come true. You say, how can that be? Well, I have a heavenly perspective because I've been saved. I've been born again of the Spirit of God. And that gives me a perspective that the world simply does not have. They just don't, they can't have it. The Bible tells us clearly that the things of this world are enmity to God. You cannot think for a minute that if you've never been born of the Spirit of God that you somehow can contemplate the spiritual power of God and that heavenly perspective. It just won't happen. But Abraham believed God, and his perspective was so heavenly that he believed that regardless of what God did, that his promises would never fail. I want you to see as we close, verse number 13. Here's where we're going to close. I want to go back to verse number 13, and I want you to see what this heavenly perspective did for Abraham. This is important, so gather this. The Bible said in verse number 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. And listen what happened.
and they were persuaded of them. Boy, I wish to God that the people of God would be persuaded concerning the promises of God. There'd be some more confident living. If the people of God would allow the promises of God to truly persuade them. The Apostle Paul said it like this. He said, "And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform." Romans 4 and 21. Romans 8 and 38, he said, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now that's somebody that's living with a heavenly perspective. That none of these things can separate me from God. None of them. A heavenly perspective had given him the confidence. He said in 2 Timothy 2, in chapter 1, verse 12, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." What a grand thing. The Apostle Paul said, "I am persuaded." This heavenly perspective that comes within us when we receive that gift of God, being born again, the Holy Spirit that abides within us will give you the heavenly perspective that will absolutely persuade you that Christ cannot fail. I don't know what you need in a time like this, but I need confidence in the one who controls all things.
Yeah, amen.
The Apostle Paul was bold enough to say one time, "I am what I am by the grace of God." See, he had sold it all for Christ. What Hebrews says here was that these all died in faith, having not received the promises, but they seen them afar off. And according to the scripture, it says they were persuaded of them. But not only were they persuaded of them, the scripture said they embraced them. May I say to you today that we'd all be better off and better witnesses if we'd simply embrace the promises of God and start living by them. I'll tell you right now, there's people watching you that need to know there is hope in Christ. They need to know that beyond him there is no hope, but that there is Christ. They need to see the smile. They need to see the confidence that you have been absolutely persuaded that the promises of God are true. But we need to embrace the promises of God. These folks died in faith, having not received them, but seeing the promises afar off, they embraced them. Matthew 6:33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I want to share with you Romans 12 verse 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." When you talk about embracing the heavenly perspective, it is about living the promises of God. If you're walking around today with your head down, scared to death of what's going to happen or could happen, may I say to you today, you need to focus on the promises of God.
Amen.
Allow that which is on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Set your affections on things that are above. And that heavenly perspective will begin to take over. They were persuaded of the promises of God. They embraced the promises of God. And lastly, he said, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I believe today that having a heavenly perspective, the Holy Spirit within us that compels us to confess that God is still in control. I'm not saying to you today that I know all that God's doing. I certainly don't. Nor do I know His will in every particular life or every situation. I do not. But I do know God. And He knows me. And that truth sets me free. The promises that I've read to you are just a tip of what's truly in the Word of God. We've not exhausted the promises of God tonight, not in any way. All of the things that He has promised me, not one has failed nor will fail. No. What Paul said about these that had died in the faith, not having received the promises, was is that they confessed they were just pilgrims and strangers here, verse number 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out, they might have went back. Say, what's he saying? Abraham could have turned around at any minute. Did he? No. He had plenty of chances.
Right. Amen.
To go back.
Right.
Did he? Why? His mind was made up. They said, had they been mindful of where they came from? No. He was no longer mindful of where he came from. What he was mindful from then was where he was going. Where are you going? Where are you going? You see, the reason that you're so mindful of everything around you down here may be because you have no heavenly promise. See, that's the sad part. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Christ died for you. He loves you. Yet we're bound by the circumstances around us because the problem is we truly have never been born of the Spirit of God and received a heavenly perspective. They had chances to turn around, but they didn't. Could the Apostle Paul have just gone back to Jerusalem? Had he been mindful of it, he could have. But what happened was that he ended up going everywhere else preaching Jesus Christ. These all died in faith, you see. Having not received all of the promises, but having seen them afar off, they were persuaded of them. And I am persuaded today. I am absolutely persuaded today that God will not fail us. I'm not saying I won't experience the hardship. I may die. That's not the point. If all it was about the earthly flesh, may I say to you that coronavirus has nothing to do with that. One out of every one die.
Yep. Amen.
You plug in whatever virus you want to, whatever. Everybody dies. That's not the news here. The news is that I have a perspective that gives me hope that when I die, I am going to a better country. Let me read it. For they that say such things, verse number 14, declare plainly that they seek a country. Verse 15, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country. That is, a heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a a city. The truth is that all of our hope is anchored in the promises that God has made. Many of them we've received already. We've received the Holy Spirit of God, and we know that these things are true. But there are still promises yet that I have not seen. But believe, and will die believing, because of this simple truth that Christ lives in me. I am persuaded, I have embraced him, and I have confessed that I am just a pilgrim here. I'm a stranger. If you pick up the paper one day and find out that I'm gone, all you got to know is I'm now home. Because this world is not my home. I am seeking a better country, a heavenly one. My journey does not end here. It's there. A heavenly perspective today changes everything. And we can live in joy. We can live in a way that others know that Christ is real by allowing the inner man to be greater than the outer, allowing a heavenly perspective to rule not just in these days, but in every day. Let people know that Christ is real and they need him just as we do. Would you bow with us as we pray? These people I know did the same as I did when they saw the pearl of great price. They sold everything they had to have it. How I thank you for the great gift of salvation, greatest of all gifts beyond any to compare. May we live, Lord, sold out to your purpose, to your will, to your promises. Help us live in a way that confesses to others the grand and wondrous news that Christ has come to redeem all that will believe. We thank you for this heavenly perspective, the very thing that gives us peace in a time of heartache. It gives us comfort when it seems nothing but sorrow is shared. We thank you for the heavenly perspective that comes from the Spirit of God that abides. And how I pray for every listener, that every one of us would examine ourselves and make certain that we are right now ready. Thank you for what you're doing. We pray it as we believe it, asking it all in Jesus' great name. Amen.